liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America.
If cholesterol, high blood pressure, angina, atherosclerotic plaque, or stroke are a concern for you or your loved one, or you want to strengthen your heart, increase stamina, and promote overall cardiovascular health, then join the Heart Technology team. Heart Technology, Linus Pauling's recommended vitamin C therapies, is the answer to your concern. Don't wait until it's too late. For more information and to order, call Dennett Daniels at 1-800-205-6245. Heart Technology, it's natural, it's effective, it's inexpensive, and it's guaranteed. 1-800-205-6245.
Worship and Warfare, Holy Places and In His Hands. Three praise and worship CDs now available through Voice of Many Waters Ministry. Call 1-800-205-6245 or check it out on the web, www.voiceofmanywaters.org. Each CD is $15 plus $3.50 shipping and handling. Call 1-800-205-6245 or www.voiceofmanywaters.org. The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots, biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat and Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
At the American Freedom Network, and with us this morning is Joel Skousen from World Affairs Brief. Joel, go right ahead.
Good morning. It's today's headline on the World Affairs Brief is going to be, it's too late now, the damage is done. Well, despite the wishful thinking of investors and manipulators pushing up stock indices, the Geithner-Bernanke duo is scrambling to avert a complete meltdown of public confidence in their saving powers. Treasury Secretary Geithner is looking more and more like a youthful amateur in his pronouncements, and Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke can no longer give us a straight answer. Well, new proposals, all without details, are emerging faster than we can count, and the pundits, instinctively praise them even before they can absorb them, acting more like cheerleaders, you know, than honest analysts. They're very anxious to join the government in turning this pig's ear of a bailout into a recovery purse. But Timothy Geithner sought wide regulatory power this week to control hedge funds and derivatives. But I think it's a little bit late now that the cows are out of the barn and they aren't coming back. You know, you can't regulate lost trillions back into existence. And badly needed reserve requirements, huge reserves, you know, would take the profitability out of these dangerous derivative hedges. And so either way, I don't... In fact, I think, you know, the derivative gamble is really dead. I mean, who in their right mind would pay any company for derivatives anymore, knowing that they're not going to be able to pay off? I mean, I think it's dead. I don't think they're coming back. So it's kind of a moot point that we're going to regulate these instruments when, in fact, they've lost all of their luster in the investment community.
And, of course, when the derivative bubble does come down, that is the ultimate bubble that will just really destroy the economic system, not only of our country, but the whole world.
Well, it's already popped. It's just a matter of not letting the public know that it has. I mean, essentially what they've done in bailing out AIG, which is the largest holder of derivative contracts, is that they've paid off selected counterparties. They've drained the entire company, so there's nothing left over for the legitimate insurance instruments that they have. And legitimate investments, which they've been taking, you know, billions of dollars from pension funds around the country. Little cities and state governments, county governments, have pension funds invested in AIG, and those are gone because there's no money to get back to these pensions. They're gone. And the bailout money has been used to pay off derivatives to the insiders. I mean, this is, if people really knew what was going on here.
Well, and, basically, they were transferring money through AIG, our money, to Goldman Sachs, to J.P. Morgan, who didn't need the money. It was just that this was a wonderful opportunity to make a profit because they had a derivative contract. If AIG had gone down, they wouldn't have made the profit. Goldman Sachs recently gave almost $5 billion in bonuses. Now, where is the outrage? Because that was paid by the American taxpayers. And we're concerned about a paltry $165 million for bonuses for AIG. Goldman Sachs got the money from the American taxpayers and paid almost $5 billion in bonuses here. And there's not hardly even a ripple in the media.
Well, and that's because we have a controlled media. But as I say, you're right, and I've covered this in the brief, that this AIG is being used as the transfer medium in order to get money to all of the bigger banks, and it is not meant to bail out the economy whatsoever. But the larger story is that they, the derivatives business is only part of AIG business. AIG legitimate businesses as a major insurance company and investment vehicle for pension funds has also been stripped of any money because, the entire company was on the hook for the derivatives contracts. And so the company's gone essentially insolvent and all of the bailout money is gone. And so there's nothing left over for the legitimate holders of insurance contractors, not just where there are reserves, there are supposed to be reserves, and those reserves are gone now, too.
Well, because since we've taken over the company, what about our further liability? What if we get $165 billion, but I would think that, we may be talking about, hundreds of billions more to AIG.
Absolutely, Dr. Stan. That's the key, is now that we're the 80-some percent stockholder in the company, the U.S. taxpayer is on the line to bail out all the rest of AIG, which doesn't have any money to pay. And so all of these pension funds that are coming due, U.S. taxpayer is going to have to take those over. And so we're going to end up paying many more billions in bailout to AIG in the name of the pension fund obligations, which it bears. And all the money that we've given so far is already out the door and gone to the member banks of the Federal Reserve. This is the secret list of private banks, which do include all of the big banks that have been bailed out. These are the private owners of the Federal Reserve. And so, this is incredible. Even Goldman Sachs is talking about paying back their $10 billion investment from the U.S. taxpayers into their company in the TARP bailout. And what are they going to pay it off with? The money they got from the taxpayers. I mean, you talk about circular financial reasoning. This is just incredible. And once again, the media is not clarifying this stuff. I just cringe when I see them discussing these things, and they have two points of view, and they're point A and B of the same government point of view. They don't have true opposition out there in the media talking about this scandal. It's just unconscionable what's coming out. Well, of course, Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner wants the Fed to have power not only to seize banks, but also private businesses and insurance companies like AIG. They're talking, Geithner's saying time is running out on the Obama administration to take control of the banks and the crisis. Geithner says if this plan fails, as it almost surely will, it's unlikely the Washington Post is saying if this plan fails, and it almost surely will, it's unlikely that Geithner will be able to persuade Congress to come up with more funds to do what he should have done in the first place. Interesting. Of course, the Washington Post is kind of like the pot calling the kettle black. It's part of the same system. Geithner knows the public is losing patience. So Geithner has asked Congress today for new regulatory authority for non-bank financial institutions such as AIG in order to, quote, eliminate gaps in supervision and avoid potentially catastrophic threats to the nation's financial system. But it's not going to work. As I say, the billions are already gone.
I fear you're right. We'll be back in just a moment here at the American Freedom Network.
The This is George Flynn of SelfDefenseGuns.com. Our concealed carry classes meet the training requirements to obtain a Colorado or Wyoming concealed carry permit, as well as non-resident Utah and Florida. We feel very strongly that ladies should exercise their right to carry and protect themselves and their loved ones. That's why our Annie Oakley special allows any student to bring a lady to our classes for free. Visit SelfDefenseGuns.com or call 970-622-2091. That's 970-622-2091.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of the Green Herb.
All of God's people have a ministry, and it's a trick of our enemy to keep God's people sick and worn out to hinder their ability to minister. We are often judgmental toward people who are addicted to booze, cigarettes, and drugs, but we at the Green Herb have found that most of God's people are unknowingly addicted to the two most addictive products in America, sugar and soda pop. If you have a sickness or disease, or if you're just tired a lot, the Green Herb has an herbal product that is formulated just for you, and it's just $15.95. Come by the Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB, that's 888-765-4372, or go to our website, www.thegreenherb.com, and be sure to listen to the Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
Article 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall be issued but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the places to be searched and the persons or things to be seized.
Well, Dr. Stan back here, I guess this morning, Joel Skousen, and Joel is pointing out that we're in real trouble. We've taken over AIG. They owe a lot of people money on their insurance policies. The money's all gone. So it's going to come from the American taxpayers. I mean, we are talking, you know, $500 billion or maybe even $1 trillion. We don't know really how much they have in derivative contracts out there that have not been properly, you know, appraised, and this is just the beginning, because we've said so many of these institutions are too big to fall. Well, I think they're too big to maintain, but if they have derivative contracts that can be used against them and we take them on, why, of course, where's the money coming from? They're just going to create the money out of nothing. And I think it was the president or the premier of Czechoslovakia said last week, discussing the Obama plan, a monetary plan, it's a road to hell. It's a road to hell. And so I think we're in real trouble. This next week is going to be important. There's going to be a big meeting over in Europe, a meeting of the financial leaders of the world. President Obama is going to be there. And, of course, there are a lot of people who are talking about, well, maybe we should just replace the dollar as a reserve currency. I mean, we can't trust the dollar because, of course, they're creating all sorts of new dollars. If we're invested there, they're destroying the value of everything we have. This is what the Chinese are saying. You can't keep printing money and printing money without destroying the dollar, and we don't want to lose all of our investments in America. But you pick up the story there, Joel.
Well, you know, I was talking about the new regulatory powers that Geithner is asking for, but this is really a red herring. In other words, the regulation, the cows are already out. The regulation isn't going to help anything at this point. And as I said, the investment vehicles that they're proposing to regulate are dead now. Nobody's going to invest in derivatives anymore, because unless they have some insider assurance that they'll get paid off, because there is no payoff. But in any case, what I really fear is that this regulatory scheme is really an excuse to intervene and capture and seize private firms. That's the real meat of this proposal, the power of the government to seize private firms that are so-called too big to fail. That smacks of nationalization powers. It is always through crisis that we get changes of law that nobody thinks about until they start to use those powers. I mean, even Bernanke, in his answers to Representative Bachman in the congressional hearing, went back to a 1933 law that authorized, one of the FDR rules that authorized the Federal Reserve to invest in bailing out companies, and that's why he viewed that as the congressional authorization. So these things come back to bite you many, many years past that. Of course, we don't have a lot of years left, given the rate at which the country's going down. But these kinds of laws are very, very bad. And of course, after the AIG bonus scandal, Congress and the public has soured on more bailouts. Even David Lightman of McClatchy newspaper said, forget about any more bailouts anytime soon. Any Obama administration bid to seek more taxpayer money for failed banks will face stiff resistance in Congress, where the Treasury Department credibility is fast ebbing and lawmakers are bowing before a constituent revolt. And believe me, when you look at all of the cartoons coming out of newspapers, I'll tell you this, there is a major public resistance now against more bailouts. And so they're going to have to be more innovative in how they call things. They may even change the name. But, of course, if the bailout bonuses weren't bad enough at AIG, as you pointed out, the ones that have now come to light this week about Goldman Sachs and Merrill Lynch. Merrill Lynch paid out before the December 31st deadline $3.8 billion in bonuses. Total salaries paid by companies and banks that were bailed out under the bailout of TARP plus the recent one are 200 times the bonuses handed out to AIG. And, it's just like Goldman Sachs paid total wages and bonuses in 2008 of $10.1 billion. $5 billion of that, as you said, was bonuses themselves. And they were bragging to the American public how they cut their bonuses in 2008 by $500 million. Well,
I'd sure like to have one of those jobs.
Yeah, right. Well, in any case, the money is never coming back on 60 Minutes on Sunday, March 15th. AIG Chairman Edward Liddy stated under oath that the bonuses were needed to retain key personnel to, quote, dismantle the company. It's obvious public isn't going to get that money back, but in dismantling the company, who's going to pay for all the city and county pension funds invested with AIG? These are gone. So, in any case, there's also the major scandal that's coming up, which is about the issue of the insider loans. This is an emerging scandal that hasn't really hit the press yet, but it looks like during this period of time, all of these banks that have been getting bailout have also increased off budget, off their recording. These are secret until they've been forced by the courts to reveal, but they've been giving loans to their company insiders, executives, and board members. And this has always been kind of a standard insider perk for working for big banks, is that you get special prime loans that aren't on the books of the bank. They're considered, because they go to the actual employees of the company, they're not considered at-risk loans, but they certainly are. Had the biggest jump in America now. The Bank of America, for example, doubled its insider loans to $624 million. I mean, this is a tremendous amount of money flowing out of a bank that is essentially bankrupt. It's like they're milking the bank before they get the bailout to show the maximum liabilities possible. J.P. Morgan of New York held $1.48 billion in insider loans, mostly for directors or companies belonging to directors. Wachovia had $747 million in insider loans. I mean, this is just incredible, Dr. Stan. And this smacks every bit as much as the savings and loan scandal. Remember
now, who took over Wachovia? I can't remember.
Wells Fargo.
Okay, fine. It's so complicated, Go ahead.
But in any case, Dr. Stan, remember the savings and loan scandals of the late 80s and early 90s? I mean, you had the Keating Five, and John McCain was involved in this, and all these big wigs starting savings and loans and were giving their own companies and themselves these multi-million-dollar loans at very prime rates. And they actually bankrupted their own companies and walked away from the loans. And these people went to jail. And so it looks like we ought to, get some vigorous prosecution of these people, too, because it looks very much like the same thing in the scandal. And
one of the things that really bothers me so much is I mean, I hear, you know, the President, Barack Obama, talking about Wall Street and how terrible Wall Street is and how these people are irresponsible, and yet he's in their pocket. He surrounded himself with Wall Street people. They put him in office. They were among his largest contributors. And the hypocrisy is when he gets up before the public and postures against Wall Street as he carries out their agenda. I mean, this is the thing. This gives hypocrisy a bad name.
That's true. And look at the incestuous relationship between Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac and the congressional delegation, including Barney Frank and Senator Chris Dodd, who are, sit on these big banking and finance committees. Barney Frank had a, you know, he's an open homosexual. He had a romantic relationship with one Herb Moses, an executive of the now-defunct Fannie Mae. And at the time, Frank had regulatory oversight over Fannie and Freddie. He'd received over $40,000 in campaign contributions. Senator Chris Dodd received $134,000 from Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. John Kerry, $110,000. Senator Barack Obama received $106,000. Senator Hillary Clinton, $75,000. And there were an equal number of big donors on the Republican side of the aisle, recipients on the Republican side of the aisle as well. Obama's chief of staff, Rahm Emanuel, was made a wealthy man by being placed on the board of directors of Fannie Mae by Bill Clinton. The board worked no more than six times a year. Unlike most fellow directors, Emanuel was not assigned to any of the board's working committees, so he had nothing to do except attend a few meetings each year, and he pulled in, guess what, $380,000.
I'm in the wrong sort of work. I can see that. So are you. Go ahead.
I mean, these people, this is what insiders do. You know, you get named to a board of director. I mean, Hillary Clinton was named to several big boards to make her wealthy. All of these congressmen and congresswomen, when they leave office, get named to these big insider boards of directors, and they rake in the hundreds of thousands of dollars for doing nothing.
Well, you know, I love this story of Bill Clinton. After he left the presidency, he made over $105 million, and that was in speaking engagements and writing books in a 10-year period. But his foundation took in $492 million. In other words, people from all over the world just donating to the Bill Clinton Foundation because they love him so much and he's such a paragon of virtue. I mean these are payoffs, ladies and gentlemen. This is payoff for services rendered. And when are the American people going to understand this is how the system really works?
Absolutely true. Well, you know, during Emanuel's term on the board, you know, and he's liable for these, at least in my mind, they used accounting tricks during this period to mislead shareholders about the outsized profits of the government chartered firm. They pushed those into the future. I mean, these things would get you and I arrested and put in jail by the IRS if we tried to push earnings off into the future so they didn't accrue in a single year to avoid taxes, and that's what they did. The board also hatched a plan to enhance its political muscle and started to host fundraisers for politicians. I mean, this is a government agency. That's why they made it so-called private, so they could get away with this, but they were actually fined $3.8 million from the Federal Election Commission for violating the law. Well, Rahm Emanuel was on the board. Was there any repercussions for him personally? Was he fined? Not at all. Came out of the public portion of the till. Well, as you mentioned, there's an international outcry about the U.S. dominance in the financial fiasco of this world, and of course, now the U.S. is having to favor their own sector rather than the European partners that they have. And you mentioned Mirek Topolánek of the Czech Republic, who's the European Union's rotating president right now, talking about the $100 billion bailout of the U.S. as a road to hell. He was immediately forced to downplay those remarks to avert a diplomatic scandal, especially when his own political career the next day took a fall when the Czech parliament delivered a vote of no confidence to Topolánek. And that puts into crisis, his EU presidency, because if he's no longer a reigning head of state, a prime minister of state, he can't serve as the EU president. And, of course, the whole EU problem is coming to surface again because there's two nations once again holding up the passage of the Lisbon Treaty, giving new and broader powers. As you remember, there was the Treaty of Nice, or the new constitution, that was rejected by France and Belgium, and it has to be unanimous consent. So that went down. Then they tried to do it by Treaty of Lisbon, which essentially watered down the language a little bit, but it still takes away a lot of sovereignty from individual nations. It has to be signed off by all the participating countries, and Ireland and the Czech Republic are refusing to sign. Now, it's interesting that this very week, the lower house of the Czech Republic passed the Lisbon Treaty, and it was up for grabs in the Senate, wasn't sure that it was going to pass or not, and all of a sudden, the far left portion of Topolánek's government pulls out the rug underneath his feet, loses a vote of confidence, and now all of a sudden it looks as if the reconstituted parliament will be less open to the Lisbon Treaty, and it may not pass. Of course, the Irish people continue to reject the treaties, but they keep throwing, their government, of course, is pro-European, and they keep throwing the treaty, the referendum, back in the face of the people, trying to wear down the opposition. Eventually, they'll get it passed. And, of course, in Britain, they're refusing to follow through on Tony Blair's promise to give people a referendum on the treaty. Their parliament, of course, is just steamrolling over the will of people in that regard. So it's no wonder that anti-European feelings are high in portions of Europe, and anti-U.S. feelings are high, especially in Eastern Europe, where Russia continues to woo its former satellites into pointing out U.S. intrigue, threats, and arm twisting that has been the hallmark of our foreign policy for years.
Well, we'll be back in just a moment with Joel Skousen as we survey what's going on in the world, and things don't look good, but don't you worry, they're going to get lots worse. We'll be back in just a moment here with Joel Skousen from World Affairs Brief.
Fern Gully Car Wash would like to remind listeners that the new year is here, and they're encouraging parents to remember you're the most important person in your child's life. Please advise them on how to make responsible choices, support their efforts to say yes to education while teaching them ways to combat the tough challenges of drug and alcohol abuse. That was courtesy of Fern Gully Car Wash, where service is more than a word, it's a fact, based on the importance they place in satisfying their customers. Stop into Fern Gully Car Wash at 406 West Bromley Lane in Brighton, or call 637-9157. That's 637-9157. Office or commercial space for rent. Here's your chance to get a great location downtown Johnstown across from Ace Hardware on Parrish. Only $500 a month. Lots of room for sign exposure and 500 square feet. Available now. Call 970-231-6586. Also available, one-bedroom apartment for rent. Remodeled, clean, air conditioning, downtown Johnstown, off-street parking. Available now. Only $575 a month. Please call 970-231-6586. 970-231-6586. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 16.
11 years ago, when my uncle started the Patriot Trading Group, gas was 75 cents a gallon, we were running an alleged budget surplus, and the total national debt was $5 trillion, and the government was forecasting the debt would be eliminated by 2010. And I thought my uncle was a wacko with tinfoil on his head. Well, I owned tech stocks certain to become a millionaire before the millennium rolled over. Since then, the debt has doubled, jobs are heading overseas, and 100,000 people have joined Eric with tinfoil on their heads. I'm Joe Jaquin, Vice President for the Patriot Trading Group, and as gold and silver have doubled and even tripled during the first 11 years, the issues facing this country over the next 11 years look far worse. Call the Patriot Trading Group at 800-951-0592. We offer all forms of gold, silver, platinum, and palladium, shipped and delivered at the most competitive prices in the country. Call us, 800-951-0592, or check out our website at allamericangold.com. And remember, you don't need to have tinfoil to own gold and silver.
No state shall enter into any treaty, alliance, or confederation, grant letters of marque or reprisal, coin money, emit bills of credit, make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts, pass any bill of attainder, ex post facto law, or law impairing the obligation of contracts, or grant any title of nobility. Article 1, Section 10.
Dan back here at the American Freedom Network. Our guest is Joel Skousen from World Affairs Brief. And Joel, before we go on, why don't you tell our listeners how to get a copy of your publication and why they should subscribe to it?
Thank you, Dr. Stan. The World Affairs Brief comes out today, each Friday, to my subscriber list, and there's a modest fee for a subscription. People can get a sample copy if they'd like to make a decision or help make a decision on whether or not to subscribe by emailing me at editor@worldaffairsbrief.com. And if they forget how to do that, they can go to the website, worldaffairsbrief.com, and gives them a synopsis of the current brief and tells them how to get a free sample copy. And as you know, and your staff uses this service, my volunteer research staff posts all the best of the conventional stories in a running list at the bottom of the synopsis so that you can go to the World Affairs Brief at any time and get the top stories of each day. And we try to sift out the ones that are the best of the conventional sources so that you at least get the least disinformation. And that's what my World Affairs Brief is about, is putting back in the stuff that is filtered out of those, the information that they won't tell you about that would alter your opinion of the truth. So there's a lot of good free things on the website, especially the right-hand column, a lot of my archival material. My specialty is talking about various cover-ups that the government has been involved in as the best examples of conspiring to take away our liberty and conspiring to change the perceptions of American people, to talk them into things like globalism, which they would not normally accept without the crises and without the cover-ups. So that's worldaffairsbrief.com.
And a well worthwhile going there. I go there every morning. In fact, I'm just as soon as I get through my emails, I'm going there this morning. You'll get the best articles, so you don't have to go over the whole web. They do the work for you. That's what I love. And I do appreciate it, Joel. Go right ahead.
Well, I know you're so busy, Dr. Stan. We're just happy to help out everywhere we can and support your work. My hat's off to you to spend so much time each day on the radio, and it's just a great service you do for people. Well, Galbraith and Krugman, two actual Keynesian economists in the United States, have taken Gaynor to task, especially over this new program to invite investors to buy up $1 trillion in toxic assets. Now you ask yourself, why would any investor want to invest in toxic assets? Well, when you look at the fine print of this thing, it's very interesting. Princeton economist Paul Krugman said, this is more than disappointing. In fact, it fills me with a sense of despair. The Gaynor scheme would offer a one-way bet. If the asset value goes up to the investor's profit, and if they go down, the investors walk away, and the taxpayer picks up
right.
The gap. I mean, wouldn't that be wonderful, Dr. Stan, to have a one-way type of investment in the stock market? If it goes up, you get the profit. If it goes down, the taxpayer takes the loss.
I mean, it's incredible that they would even suggest something like this.
And what's interesting is the stock market boomed on this notice. I mean, they said, wow, this is something that will work. Well, it's sure. Free money always works. But I'll tell you this, you're going to have to be one of the insiders to get in on this deal. This won't be open to just anyone. And, of course, Krugman really says the problem is this plan really won't work. He said, adding that bad loans may be undervalued because there's too much fear in the current climate. But the fact is, bad loans are bad loans. And there's no value in them. They already lost that bet, he said. These loans are bad, and investors will profit only from the good ones and let the taxpayers subsidize the bad ones. So why bring in investors anyway if they aren't at risk for the bad loans? It's simple. Like everything else in this bailout scheme, they are insider deals to make fellow insiders rich and nothing to do with saving the real victims of these schemes or bailing out the real economy.
Well, Joel, as I've often said, I think we are witnessing the greatest transfer of wealth from the poor people in a rich country to the rich people in a rich country. And I have nothing wrong with people making money. I believe in the free enterprise system. But there are insiders, and they get special treatment. And we are funding the wealth to these insiders. This is the problem. If they were simply average individuals trying to make an honest dollar, I'd be all in favor of it, but they're not. They're making it off the back of the working man, and so many people are going to lose everything, and you're going to get rich, or at least this small insider group are going to get rich, and the average individual is going to be impoverished before this is all over.
Well, you know, what's interesting, when you look at the overall, even on both sides of the scale, it's either the very wealthy who invested in these Ponzi schemes that are having their funds replenished because they lost their money and those funds are being replenished, or you're talking about the deadbeat people on the mortgage side of the market who shouldn't have been buying houses, and their mortgages are going to be paid for them. Now, what about all of us in between who are responsible, who are paying our mortgages, and we don't get any bailout? We don't need a bailout. The only people that are getting bailouts are the undeserving. I don't know of a single deserving person that's getting a bailout because deserving people, in fact, pay their mortgages. I mean, this is just ludicrous when you think about it, that only the undeserving are getting all of these trillions of dollars. And, of course, eventually this comes out in the inflation tax. Eventually all of our assets, all of those who are working hard and saving and trying to be responsible, are going to have our assets diminished by the flood of money that keeps pouring into the economy through these kinds of bailouts. Now, it's not flooding in right now. We're still having contraction. And that is because we're refilling the coffers. And it may be a bottomless pit. I don't know when this is going to turn around, because this bottomless pit has to be filled of the insiders before they'll let any of that money out into the actual economy. And it's not loans. You know, you can't have a bubble collapsing because of excessive debt and then fill that bubble up again with debt. That just is no solution. That's why these economists, even the Keynesians, are saying this isn't going to work, and they're absolutely right. Well, even the unemployment figures are being fudged. You know, you're talking about unemployment being above 10%, California, Nevada, Oregon, Washington, but it's only about half of the actual real employment picture. These things don't count. Part-time workers, independent contractors who are barely working, they're still technically employed, but they don't get unemployment compensation anyway. Realistic estimates of unemployment and underemployment range between 18 and 20%, a lot higher than the 10% that are currently being talked about. Now, there's the big issue coming up about a new currency. China called for a replacement this week of the dollar by some yet-to-be-defined international currency. And this is another key New World Order goal the globalists at the CFR and Trilateral Commission would relish having. But you see, you can't get there from here. You can't just exchange one currency for another. Otherwise, everyone says, well, I have, you know, we want a one-to-one exchange between dollars and the new currency. I mean, what does that do for you? It just changes the name of the currency, but it doesn't stop the inflation unless you have a new body that has the sole and exclusive power to decide how much of that money to print. When you give that power away, you've given away your sovereignty to control your own currency. And I'll tell you, the Fed is not about to give up that power over to an international body. I mean, that's what happened in the EU countries, is that they could no longer control the inflation rate in their own country when they signed on to the EU currency.
Well, sounds like we're going to a break. Hang on there. We'll be back in just a moment with Joel Skousen.
Hi, this is Phil with WolfAutoGroup.com. We sell new, used trucks, cars, ATVs. We love to barter, horse trade. You know, your valuable things for ours. We also have many willing lenders to finance any difference left over to make your payoff on your automobile. Try us. We will trade for your valuable goods. WolfAutoGroup.com. Local number 303-931-9096. Talk to Mr. Wolf personally for the best location to serve you. Thank you.
Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to join them as they celebrate Passover 2009 in Messiah Yeshua. He brought us out to bring us in. Festivities begin Wednesday, April the 8th at 6 p.m. at the Ramada Plaza, 10 East 120th Avenue in Northland. Beth Messiah Band, Mishpacha Family Praise Dance, and the Intercourt Dancers will be there. Deadline for reservations, March the 25th, so call now, 1-800-205-6245, and get your reservations for Passover 2009 and Chag Sameach.
Your brother has it, your co-workers have it, and your friends have it. You need to get your concealed weapons permit, too. Go to www.theshootingschool.org and sign up now for the NRA basic pistol class to get your Colorado concealed carry permit. Unlike most instructors, we provide you with enough certificates to renew your carry permit for 10 years. Visit theshootingschool.org now to register or call Senior Instructor Dennis Young at 303-478-8121. That's Dennis Young at 303-478-8121. www.theshootingschool.org. If catastrophe struck, would your family be prepared? Are you confident you wouldn't react in a panic? Is there one place to get all of your emergency supplies? Ferris Survival encourages you to have confidence through preparation, not panic through crisis. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing quality, realistic preparedness supplies at an affordable price. Go online, stop by, or call 303-781-0343. Ferris Survival.
Well, I just stand back here at the American Freedom Network. Our guest, Joel Skousen, and Joel, our last segment, pick up the story.
So we're really talking about this new currency proposal. It's interesting that Secretary of Treasury Gaetner failed to adequately respond to this issue. At first, he told the CFR, which was obviously is open to a new world order, and pushing for it, that he was open to this suggestion. He later vehemently denied this and then supported the dollar's reserve currency. And it was a very mixed reaction. But frankly, I think they're just paving the way and starting to get people to think about a new world currency. I don't think it has a chance of going into effect until a war comes. Only in a war can you get away with giving an unfair exchange rate to current holders of dollars because of the crisis. I expect that the powers that be will increasingly floating this idea as a prelude, but eventually when war comes, they're going to want to actually dissolve all the debts in one fell swoop. And I think they're clearly spending with abandonment. I think that's what they intend to do, is to do away with U.S. debt all in one fell swoop and start over with a new currency. And that means giving you 100-to-1 value for your existing dollars in the new currency or something like that. But anyway, the cat's out of the bag, and clearly what China's interested in, of course, is to have a new world currency that is controlled by a world organization dominated by China, or at least where it's got a seat at the table. Right now, the only person with a seat at the table in terms of the dollar is the Federal Reserve, and they control its value by how much they inflate it. And that's what worries the rest of the country. I mean, they're all tied into the dollar, and they're seeing those dollars deflated by this inflationary scenario. And, we Americans, as citizens, the ultimate holders of dollars, ought to be very concerned ourselves. And the only reason American people aren't is because right now we have temporary deflation, but eventually that inflation will come back with a vengeance. In other news, Boeing is laying off an awful lot of people, and people wonder in Seattle what's going on here, because Boeing has a huge backlog of aircraft they need to build. So why are they laying off? Well, it turns out that their biggest customer, which is International Lease Financing, this is the company that leases airplanes to the airlines. Most airlines don't own the airplanes. They lease them from ILF, and ILF buys them from Boeing. And ILF, it turns out, is owned by AIG. And so AIG no longer has any money to finance ILF purchases of airplanes, and ILF can't get financing from other sources because it's owned by AIG. It's kind of a catch-22 situation, and Boeing knows there may be some cancellations, and I think that they're doing preventative layoffs of people because of this upcoming shoe that's going to drop. Well, in other news, Postal Service, no surprise there, going deeper into the red, losing approximately $6 billion a year, and this is a company that is supposed to be semi-government. It's got a monopoly on postal services, but it's losing. And the big story, of course, is that Not only did Postmaster General Johnny Potter gave himself a bonus package of $135,000 while the company was losing money, but the big reason the Postal Service is in trouble is the mail volume has dropped from 213 billion pieces last year to 180 billion this year. A lot of that's drop in its mailing rate from companies advertising through the post office. I think there's a steady drop as well from people going to email rather than sending regular mail. But in any case, much of the postal system is mechanized. Those costs remain the same no matter how much mail you shove through the mechanized sorters and things. Those costs are still the same. The real problem with service, it's more than generous labor and pension costs, which are sinking the government company. Union labor contracts keep bidding up wages until they far surpass the non-technical skill rates that the Postal Service should be paying. Postal Service, Sam Ryan of National Review did an analysis that Postal Service costs are out of control. Nearly 80% of U.S. Postal Service spending goes towards labor. 80%, Dr. Sam, compared to 50% at both FedEx delivery service and UPS.
But of course, as they raised the postal rates, it's up to 44 cents now for a letter to be sent. As they raise the rates, why people are going to go away from it further and further. If they lowered the rates, why people would send more mail. They would keep raising the rates. People are going to go to email or other alternatives. And of course, it's a self-destructive approach to the situation.
That's right. They're talking about ending Saturday delivery as a means of cutting costs. But if you end Saturday delivery, that's also less income that you make because people aren't mailing on Saturday anymore either. And so it's kind of a catch-22. The big problem that nobody wants to talk about is the union contracts. They have no layoff rules. The union has rules that the post office can't lay off people. So they're having to hire these same people and keep them hired even when the postal volume is dropping some 20 to 30%. So they have rules whereby you can't ship people from one city to another. So the Postal Service cannot allocate its own labor resources. The bill completely kowtows to the unions, even mandates one slot on the U.S. Postal Board of Governors to be filled by an individual with unanimous backing of organized labor. So labor is the real problem. You know, that's one of the reasons why the Greenbrier Resort, which is kind of a private government partnership ever since they built that big bunker system in the basement of the Greenbrier, and they've got one of the highest labor costs in the country for a hotel because they allowed labor unions in very early on during the 1930s, and their wage scales are way higher, and so they're declaring bankruptcy, I think, strictly to break the labor union contract. Looks like Marriott Corporation is going to be the highest bidder on this bankruptcy proceeding. We'll take it over and continue to operate this without labor unions. Well, there was a surprising announcement, Dr. Stan. I just have time to get this in. Major James Jones made a very incautious remark at the 45th Munich Security Conference in Germany. He said, "I take my orders daily from Dr. Kissinger, filtered down through Brent Scowcroft and Sandy Berger."
And that's what it's all about, ladies and gentlemen. It's all controlled by the elite. Thanks, Joel. We'll talk to you next, I guess, week after next. We'll talk to you next week. God bless.
My pleasure.
Bye.
People who don't suffer from back pain have no idea how excruciatingly agonizing it can be. Sometimes there's no comfortable position. You can't stand, you can't sit, even lying down can be murder. Sometimes the problem is in the lower back, with shooting, stabbing pains jolting through the buttock and into the thigh. Or sometimes the pain is in the neck and upper back area. You can't turn your head without terrible pain. Pain that bad can wreck your life. Sometimes the pain is caused by an auto accident. Sometimes it's work-related. And sometimes horrible pain can start with something as ridiculous as a sneeze or just sleeping wrong. At Chiropractic Plus, they fix sore necks and backs. At Chiropractic Plus, they usually get impressive results after just one visit. If you're in pain now or know somebody in pain, call Chiropractic Plus at 303-254-8430. They make neck and back pain go away. Call 303-254-8430. They work with insurance companies. Chiropractic Plus, 303-254-8430.
In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law, and to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation, to be confronted with the witnesses against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense. Article 6 of the Bill of Rights.
Sterling Diesel Service reminds us that safety on the job is job one. Knowledge of the job, sobriety, and awareness are qualities we all count on in our fellow employees and employers. Keep the workplace and job site safe for yourself, your coworkers, and the clientele you serve. This message was courtesy of the folks who care at Sterling Diesel Service. They say our area is a great place to live, work, shop, and raise our families, and they're doing their part to keep it that way. That's Sterling Diesel Service in Sterling, where they're always concerned for the safety and welfare of our community.
Well, I just stand back here at the American Freedom Network. I hope you enjoy our conversations with Joel Skousen every Friday. I always look forward to them. We're in real trouble. And, of course, you have to understand we do have an invisible government. Henry Kissinger is one of the major architects of this. And here you hear General James Jones, the National Security Advisor to Barack Obama, making a public statement that he gets his orders every day from Henry Kissinger through Brent Scowcroft. They're all members of the Trilateral Commission. General Jones is a member. Henry Kissinger is a member. Brent Scowcroft are a member. We have 80 people, 87 Americans who are in the Trilateral Commission, and they run our government. I mean, where do you think Timothy Geithner comes from? Where do you think that certainly Paul Volcker, who is the chief economic advisor to President, comes from? Where do you think that his head of the Homeland Security or his ambassador to the United Nations? There are 11 people from this little group who hold key positions in the Obama administration, and he is simply doing what he is told. Very articulate, but we have an invisible government whose loyalty is not to America, but to an international dream, and they are part of the Brotherhood of Darkness. We do have a great new syllabus, membership of the Brotherhood of Darkness, which gives you the list of the members of all of these people, so you can eventually, names of all of the people involved, so you can eventually begin to spot them when you read the newspapers. You can't understand the newspapers. You can't understand 60 Minutes. You can't understand what you see on television unless you have a program, and the program is the membership list of the Brotherhood of Darkness. And what motivates them? Well, that's why you need my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, because it takes you into the spiritual force behind what's going on today. If you'd like to get the membership list of the Brotherhood of Darkness, or my book, or our talk on the Forbidden Secret, and the syllabus goes with that, or so many other things we have, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Some great new books. One is Who Killed Bobby, and it goes into the murder of Bobby Kennedy. We have a great four CD set on that subject as well as a DVD on RFK Must Die, and of course you can get the RFK special, the Bobby Kennedy special. It has the book, the DVD, the four tape set. They killed Bobby Kennedy, but they can't let the American people know the truth. Just as they killed Martin Luther King. We've got a great four-tape set with people who know about the murder of Martin Luther King, who attended the trial that was put on, backed by Martin Luther King's family to bring out the truth. The tape set is called The Execution of Martin Luther King, and with it we suggest you get the book, An Affair of State, written by William Pepper, who was hired by Martin Luther King's family to bring out the truth, totally suppressed by the controlled media. They can't let you know that they killed Martin Luther King. They killed Bobby Kennedy. They killed Jack Kennedy. They sent the USS Liberty, an American intelligence gathering ship, off the coast of the Sinai 1967 war, with the idea that they'd kill all the people on board and use that as justification for going to war with Egypt at the time. And behind that was Lyndon Johnson and Robert McNamara, incidentally a member of the Trilateral Commission, also deeply involved in the occult, as with Henry Kissinger, as are most of the people that we're talking about today, because behind everything are powerful spiritual forces. Our number, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927, our webpage, radioliberty.com. Please pray for America, pray for revival. Until Monday, may the Lord be with you.
Now you can reach the American Freedom Network at our new P.O. Box, 1750 Johnstown, Colorado, 80534, or online at Amerifree.com.
Hi, this is Phil with WolfAutoGroup.com. We sell new, used trucks, cars, ATVs. We love to barter, horse trade. You know, your valuable things for ours. We also have many willing lenders to finance any difference left over to make your payoff on your automobile. Try us. We will trade for your valuable.